Beginning a new section in our study, which is the fourth section titled The Signs Given to Awaken Repentance. And up to this point, we see Jeremiah's calling and commission, his preaching to the Jews in Jerusalem, as well as to the Jews in the temple concerning false worship. But as we open up our time into this new section, we will discover that there is a bit of a shift now from the messages preached to God's people over to a more autobiographical feel from these verses all the way over until chapter 20. In fact, these next few chapters will read more like a narrative in many ways. You're going to note that. One of my commentaries stated that the section now under consideration constitutes a mixed anthology without a planned structure. And you can imagine that since this is the case, it's very difficult to pinpoint just where in time these events have transpired as we look at this. But the events from chapter 11 through till chapter 20, some believe that the events that we will be studying from chapter 11 through 20 happened during the reign of Josiah. Others believe that they happened during the reign of Jehoiakim. And I'm not going to be dogmatic. Both sides have good reasons for why they take the stance that they do. But what we need to rest in is this, that these events literally happened in history. And they've been recorded for us so that we can study them. As we begin our time together, I want to open up with a quote that I used in our last lesson from Howard Hendricks. He used to say throughout his ministry that dusty Bibles will always lead to dirty lives. And I believe that what he said there will apply to what we will be looking at in our time together. Now, we understand that Howard Hendricks, as a grace age saint living within this church age of grace, he had the Word of God completed. Whereas the Jews living in Judah, they only had some of the scriptures where God's full revelation hadn't been revealed yet in their time. But the principle from this quote rings true into the time period in which Jeremiah found himself. Dusty Bibles always lead to dirty lives. In other words, no matter where you are, where you live, or in what dispensational period you find yourself in, within God's plan and purpose for the nation of Israel in the church, if you set the words of God on a shelf rather than growing in His grace and the knowledge of the truth, then your moral life will be profoundly impacted. In fact, from our passage of Scripture today, we will discover this very important truth for God's people, which is this, that many blessings in life are forfeited when we fail to listen to the Word of God. Many blessings in life are forfeited when we fail to listen to the Word of God. We're going to be in Jeremiah today, chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11, we're opening up into this new section that we have here. Jeremiah chapter 11. And I want to place an emphasis here on the key word for listen. And the reason why I did that was because God's people living throughout Judah had undeniably failed to listen to the Word of God, and more specifically, the Mosaic Covenant. So if you have your Bibles, please open up with me to Jeremiah chapter 11. We're going to be in verses 1 through 17. And as I begin reading through these verses, you're going to notice that the word covenant is going to come up. You're going to see that. Covenant is going to come up. And the question that we need to ask is this. What is the covenant in the spotlight here? What covenant is being talked about? We have the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant, and then we have the Mosaic covenant. And the reason why we want to ask what covenant is in view here is because there's a difference. There's a difference between these two covenants. Remember, one is eternal, where the other one isn't. One is unconditional, where its fulfillment rests on God's ability to complete it, and the other is conditional. We have already discussed both these covenants in great detail through our study on dispensationalism, which you can go back to if you wanted to go to sermonaudio.com and look up our series on dispensationalism, and you can be refreshed on those covenants that are there. But remember, as church age believers, we're not under the Mosaic covenant as Israel had been. The Mosaic law demanded Israel's obedience, but it could never produce obedience in their lives. In fact, while living under it, the law was insufficient to meet the spiritual needs of mankind. The law was not the Savior. The law instead points to the Savior. And when it came to God's people and this covenant from the Old Testament, as revealed from God's word, we will realize that the Israelites had violated the Mosaic covenant. They had violated the Mosaic covenant as they were living under it. In fact, from this text of scripture today, we're going to find five sobering realities that were true of the Jews living during Jeremiah's day. Five sobering realities that were true of the Jews living during Jeremiah's day. Now, remember, the main truth that we want to keep before us is this, that many blessings are forfeited in life when we fail to listen to the word of God. It's just a reality. You'll notice that from each of the sobering realities that they all have to do with God's people and they have to do with God's word. In fact, the first sobering reality that we find from this text is that God clearly revealed his word to his people. We see that in verses 1 through 5. You're going to note that as we track along through this passage together. A.W. Tozer once said that the voice of God is a friendly voice. No one need fear to listen to it unless he has already made up his mind to resist it. When God gave the Israelites the Mosaic law, his words to them were clear. And Jeremiah wanted to reaffirm here in this passage that the failure to live according to the standards given through the Mosaic law did not come because the message was perplexing. God didn't hand his people a series of codes and signals that couldn't be deciphered. That wasn't the case at all. Instead, he handed them his clear word. That's what he gave to them. He gave them his clear word. And again, note the context here. It reveals that the covenant in view is indeed the Mosaic covenant. We're going to begin as we track through verses 1 through 5 together. Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5 says, we'll begin in verse 1 there. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, hear the words of this covenant and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And say to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not heed the words of this covenant, which I commanded your forefathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, listen to my voice and do according to all which I commanded you, so that you shall be my people and I will be your God. In order to confirm the oath which I swore to your forefathers to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then I said, amen, O Lord. God wanted Jeremiah to remind the people that the Mosaic covenant was a conditional covenant. Verse 3 again says, cursed is the man who does not heed the words of this covenant. I mean, this is it's a pretty straightforward, it's pretty straightforward. In the Old Testament, through the Mosaic law, we find that what God desired from his people was obedience. Obedience to his revealed will. Obedience to his revealed will. And that message is consistent if we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and we read verse 1. If you want to turn there, you can. I have it up here on the PowerPoint. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, we read, now it shall be if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. However, we then read in verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, but it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. It's conditional. It's conditional based off of how they would respond to the word. And if you continue reading Deuteronomy chapter 28, you'll find out what these curses are. You'll see those curses right there in the text in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, again, the Mosaic law was given to Israel in the Old Testament, not the church, not to the church in the New Testament. Yet the sobering reality here was that God wanted Jeremiah to remind the Jews living in Judah to be mindful of this fact, that God was very clear with his people in regard to his word. The problem wasn't God. The problem was God's people had a history of disobeying God's word. We see that in verses 6 through 8. If you look with me here at verses 6 through 8, we're going to begin in verse 6. It says, and the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I solemnly warned your fathers in the day that I brought them up from the land of Egypt, even to this day, warning persistently, saying, listen to my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked each one in the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore, I brought on them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not. God's people, they had a history of disobeying God's word. And in the specific context here, the Israelites had a history of disobeying the Mosaic covenant. I like what Warren Wiersbe says here. He says that God had to treat his people like little children who obey either to get a reward or to escape a spanking. And I mean, this was a literal part of Jeremiah's ministry. He was called by God to warn the Jews that they had, in fact, violated the Mosaic covenant. Which brings us to the third sobering reality, which was this. History stood on the precipice of repeating itself. History stood on the precipice of repeating itself. We see that in verses 9 through 10. Look with me. Then the Lord said to me, a conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their ancestors, who refused to hear my words. And they have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Both Israel and Judah were responsible for violating the Mosaic covenant that had been established many years earlier. And as the Lord reflects on this violation of his word, he uses an interesting word for this violation. You'll see it in verse 9. He says that it is a conspiracy. It is a conspiracy. That Hebrew word for conspiracy is kasher and is found 16 times in the Bible. And the sense in which it is being used is to describe this idea that there was this secret agreement to perform an unlawful act. And that unlawful act was first and foremost directed against God himself. However, since this conspiracy was against God, Jeremiah, as God's prophet, would become the object of this conspiracy. And as we will see in our next lesson, the people in Judah didn't respond well to this message overall, that they had violated the Mosaic covenant. Since a whole new generation had violated the Mosaic covenant, we find that God's people will be penalized for failing to listen to God's word. God's people will be penalized for failing to listen to God's word. And that's found in verses 11 through 14. Let's continue reading this text together. Verse 11 says, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am bringing disaster on them, which they will not be able to escape. Though they cry to me, yet I will not listen to them. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry to the gods to whom they burn incense. But they surely will not save them in the time of their disaster. For your gods are as many as your cities, O Judah, and as many as the streets of Jerusalem are the altars you have set up to the shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal. Therefore, do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them. For I will not listen when they call to me because of this disaster. Verse 11 begins with, therefore. Therefore, and we have to ask ourselves whenever we see a therefore, what is it there for? What is it there for? What is being talked about previous? God had just explained to his people through Jeremiah that they were guilty of violating the Mosaic covenant. They were guilty of that. And what we just read, what we've just looked at here in these verses, they're not pretty verses. I mean, this didn't tickle the ears of Jeremiah. Audience, but it was necessary, and judgment was necessary because God is just. God will not stand idly by while God's people engage in gross, immoral, sinful idolatry. When his judgment would come, it would be completely consistent with his word, and it would be completely consistent with his nature. In fact, God told Jeremiah specifically not to pray for God's people three different times throughout this book because judgment was inevitable. This penalty would be inevitable. I can't imagine that God would say, don't pray for my people. That was the line that they had crossed in their sin. And in Jeremiah 7, verse 16, we read this, as for you, Jeremiah, do not pray for this people and do not lift up cry or prayer for them and do not intercede with me, for I do not hear you. For I do not hear you. God tells Jeremiah not to pray for deliverance from God's judgment here in chapter 11, verse 14, as well as in Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 11. So the Lord said to me, do not pray for the welfare of this people. Do not pray for the welfare of this people. Why? Because judgment was inevitable. But was God's judgment unjustifiable? That's the question. Was God's judgment unjustifiable? I mean, God knew the game plan here. His judgment was coming and the false gods would be able to do nothing about it. It's almost as if the Lord is intimately aware of how his people will respond when judgment finally comes. They will be so duped in their religious way of living that they will fail to recognize their need before the one true God. So then what about this question? Was God's judgment unjustifiable? The answer to that question is found in the next passage of this scripture, of the scripture here. And it brings us to the fifth reality that was true for the Jews living in Jeremiah's day, which was this, that God will initiate judgment on his people for failing to listen to the word, to his word. Was God's judgment unjustifiable? Let's hear what the Lord has to say about this. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 15. I'd encourage you to look there with me. Verse 15 says, what right has my beloved in my house when she has done many vile deeds? And the answer is she has no right. She has no right. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says this, evidently some people came to the temple to offer consecrated meat as a sacrifice, believing that this ritual would avert punishment, yet they never ceased to engage in their wickedness. And of course, that phrase that we find in the second half of this verse, which is sacrificial flesh, is a reference to that which was sacrificed in the temple in hopes that God's people could cover their sin and avert God's judgment. The rest of verse 15 says, can the sacrificial flesh take away from you your disaster so that you can rejoice? And the answer, of course, is no, it can't. Verse 16 continues and it says, the Lord called your name a green olive tree, beautiful in fruit and form. And here's a picture. I have a picture up here of an olive tree. This verse continues with the noise of a great tumult or an outburst. He has kindled fire on it. And that's an olive tree. This would be what we would see there. Its branches are worthless. Look with me, verse 12. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry to the gods to whom they burn incense, but they surely will not save them in the time of their disaster. God will initiate judgment on his people for failing to listen to the word of God. That's what we see there. That's what we see in that passage. Now, after reading this passage, we might be tempted to think, what does this passage have to do with us as believers living in this church age of grace? I mean, the Jews living in Judah, they were living under the Mosaic law. They were guilty of breaking the law. This text is referring to Jews living in under the law before Christ came. And we know that the Mosaic law would come at the end based off of Galatians 3:19, which says this, why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. I mean, if you would, turn with me to Hebrews 10. I want us to see this. Hebrews 10. We know that Hebrews was written to the believer living in the church age of grace. And that is very important to understand, which is why it is especially important to have a dispensational understanding of God's word. We saw that the truth that many blessings in life are forfeited when we fail to listen to the word of God. That was true for the Jew, according to Jeremiah 11. But that same truth is verified in the New Testament for the believer as well. What happens when a believer today in this church age of grace makes the decision to habitually live in a way where they're not dealing with their sin? What happens if believers fail to obey God's word? You see, on a very practical level, believers in this church age of grace can become fundamentally guilty of the same sins that the Jews were guilty of while living under the Mosaic law. I know we can't violate the Mosaic law in the same way that the Jew did. I get that. We're no longer under the Mosaic law. But like the Jews in Jerusalem 11, believers can consciously make the decision to live in a way that isn't pleasing to God. Believers can become carnal to the things of God, and believers can go through life without a care in the world in regard to the truth of God's word, which is exactly what the writer of Hebrews talks about in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. And you might want to turn there with me. Hebrews 10, verse 26. And through part of verse 27, we read, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of what? Of judgment. A terrifying expectation of judgment. And the consequences follow." The consequences follow. In looking at this text of Scripture, I went back to Pastor Brad's sermon that he preached, and he started out that sermon on these verses in Hebrews 10 by stating that what we find here is very difficult, but is necessary for all of us to consider. Just because we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ does not mean that we can live however we want. And what we have here in Hebrews chapter 10 is a warning passage for believers. If we don't deal appropriately with our sin, then we will be faced with discipline. And we may even face God's righteous judgment. And as verse 31 says, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Believer, sin is nothing to mess around with. It's nothing to mess around with. We need to remember these things. If we have unconfessed sin in our lives, and we need to go to the cross and we need to make things right. Dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. And so let's come back to this truth that we've looked at today. Many blessings in life are forfeited when we fail to listen to the word of God. And in the rest of our time here, what I want to ask is this: in what way can we fail to listen to God's word as Church Age of Grace saints? In thinking about this question with this passage in view, I've listed here three major ways where we can fail to listen to God's word as believers. And the first way in which we can fail to listen to God's word as believers is if we fail to make church a priority. We fail to make church a priority. Just one verse before that great warning to believers in Hebrews 10:26, we read in verse 25 that as believers, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. One of the major concerns that we had when we decided to put our services online was that the temptation would be to put on your pajamas, grab a cup of coffee, and to watch church on the internet. And by not assembling together, we are in essence neglecting the command in Scripture giving to us through the guidance of the Holy Spirit himself. If we don't make church a priority, then we're not only being disobedient to the word, but we will also lack in our understanding of God's word if the word of God is being taught. To which I say, why wouldn't we want to make the word of God and the gathering together with other saints a priority? Why would that be? Well, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verses 99 through 100, when meditating on God's word, he says, I love this passage. Hang on to this verse. When looking at the word of God, taking in the truths of God's word, the psalmist says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. Yet across this land, many church sanctuaries are empty. Evening service is on life support, and Sunday school is a thing of the past. Why? I'm speaking broadly here, but why would this be? It's because church isn't a priority anymore. That's why. Church isn't a priority anymore. If we fail to make church a priority, then we will fail to listen to God's word. If we're going to have a hard time understanding basic concepts like law and grace, the church and Israel, positional sanctification and practical sanctification, we need to be able to grasp those things. The second way in which we can fail to listen to God's word as believers is if we fail to see God's word as the standard for daily life and living. And James does a great job with this concept. You'll see in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. In fact, I'd ask you to turn there with me, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of a person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. When we get out of bed in the morning, I think that we can safely assume that one of the first places where we will go will be to the bathroom. We're going to look in the mirror. Why? Because we need to make adjustments. We have probably all been in the bathroom at one point this morning, making adjustments before coming to church. That's what James is saying here. And so it needs to be with the word of God. The word of God is the standard. It is the standard for daily life and living. Meaning we may need to toss aside our views. If the word of God is the standard for daily life and living, we may need to toss aside our feelings and our beliefs in order to bring them into conformity with the word of God. One of my favorite examples of this is found in 1 Thessalonians. If you would turn with me there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone forth so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God. What happened? Positionally, these individuals living in Thessalonica, they're saved, right? Positionally, they're saved. They've trusted in Christ. Yet practically, after they trusted in Christ for salvation, they learned that idol worship was not pleasing to God. They learned that. And so what happened as a result? What did they do with their idols? What did they do? They got rid of them. They got rid of those idols. God's word became the standard to live by after they were saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And the third way in which we can fail to listen to God's word as believers is if we fail to respond appropriately to godly rebuke. One of the blessings about church membership and even attending church is we are in essence putting ourselves under godly leadership where there is accountability. And you're not going to get that online. You just won't. You're not going to get that kind of accountability on the internet by holding church services in the woods. It won't be there. If you're living in such a way where godly individuals are doing anything but condoning, if we are living in such a way where godly individuals are doing anything but condoning our lifestyle or our choices, then that should be a major indication on the dashboard of life that we have something out of balance and that before the Lord, we need to make adjustments in our relationship to Him. Amen. We all need to make adjustments. We all need to make adjustments from time to time. God can do just that. He can use godly individuals to speak truth into our lives. Just as He chose to use Jeremiah to speak truth into the Jewish way of living before God's judgment came. Listen, many blessings in life, they are forfeited when we fail to listen to the Word of God. So what do we need? Well, we need God's truth. That's what we need. We need God's truth. People are hungry for it. It's getting harder and harder to come across solid biblical teaching and preaching where whole books of the Bible are being expounded upon. And this has been a heavier message. And we've seen that God must judge sin and that if He is willing to bring judgment to those who belong to Him, then how much more is He willing to bring judgment down on those who have rejected His Son? Listen, if you're listening online and you need to, then you need to understand this simple truth. God made a way for you to be saved, and that way is through His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, 3 days later rose again and offers eternal life to anyone who would make that decision to believe in Him to save them from their sin. You can make that decision today. The penalty for sin is of separation from God in a literal place called hell. A horrible, awful reality. Make that decision to trust in Christ if you have not done that. And if you have made that decision, then my challenge for us this morning is let's make church a priority. And let's make it a priority for our families. We are just desperate. We need to allow God's word to shape our thinking. We need to be quick to accept godly advice from others. And in doing so, we will gain much blessing in living this life for Jesus Christ. We will. Yeah, this isn't a health and wealth message. It's a simple fact that when we are open to hearing from God, then we will live healthier, happier lives for the glory of God, no matter the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Let me close in a word of prayer, and then we will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for this day. I want to thank You for Your word that we've been able to take in this morning. And Father, we give You praise for the truth that is there. I pray that we would be students of Your word, that we would set ourselves under it, not just on Sunday, but all throughout the week. We would be taking it in and, Father, going over it and over it again in our minds. We just need that. We thank You for that. I want to thank You for each one here today. And I ask, Lord, that You would continue to bless the rest of this day in a special way. And for that, we will give You praise. In Your name I pray. Amen.